Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor,
Tor, Tor. We welcome you to the first episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast for season 2019-20. We are so glad to be back for another season of the best league in the world. I'm your host, Matthew Karagic. And for hopefully the next hour or so, we will take you through all the happenings of the summer transfer window and what clubs have been up to during the summer break. It would be wrong of me not to introduce the two panel experts to help me delve through all things wonderful in the Zweite Bundesliga. First of all, we'll talk to our Arminia Bielefeld fan, Eva Lottiboll. Eva, welcome back to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. How you doing?
Very good. Glad to be back.
We are glad to have you back. And of course, we can call him a Bochum fan. Still running the English Twitter for VfL Bochum. It is the one and only Elliot Turnbull. Elliot, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Glad to be back talking about football after an enthralling Cricket World Cup, Matthew. But yeah, I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm glad you brought that up. But this is a football podcast and we can leave the cricket to the experts. Let's start with the six newcomers into the Zweite Bundesliga. Three teams coming down, three teams coming up. We'll start with the relegated trio. We'll start with Stuttgart, a team that has had a lot of change, both in managerial, in personnel, and of course at board level. They have a new sporting director in Sven Mislintat, who comes from Arsenal. Of course, he was the Wunderscout of Borussia Dortmund. This is his biggest job, it is fair to say. He hasn't wasted any time. Tim Walter is the new manager. He comes from Holstein Kiel. Very good season with them. Gives him the job, and he has not wasted any time putting his imprint onto the squad. Some very interesting players, the likes of Philip Clement from Paderborn. He brings Atakan Karazor from Kiel with him. Grigor Kerbel and Fabian Bredlow are the goalkeepers. For the team, it looks like Kerbel will be the number one. And some interesting players like Tangai Koulibaly, and Hamadi Al-Ghadoui from Jan Regensburg, of course, the big departures. Benjamin Pavard to Bayern Munich, Ozan Kabak to Schalke, and Ron Robert Zieler is going back to Hanover. Eva, I'm going to start with you. There's a lot of expectation on this team. They've been astute in sort of making the squad a lot younger. What has been your impressions on their transfer window?
Well, I think some Paderborn fans were a bit irritated by Clement just getting promoted with Paderborn and then, going to Stuttgart. I think Stuttgart is in a place right now where football itself is, the less concerns. I think everyone got a bit around that whole Dietrich fiasco. It has been tough days at Stuttgart. I think it's going to be a much tougher season, I think, for them to start in this Zweite Bundesliga season than a couple of years ago. Really good signings, though, I think, which they can be quite interesting to see how they will play out. Roberto Massimo is now back at their place. I think he has some good chances playing for them. It's going to be really tough for them. I think it's not going to be that easy.
We've seen teams that have come down from the Bundesliga and have really struggled, especially with the weight of expectations of promotion. Elliot, I want to talk about the two goalkeepers. Both of us we can claim to be experts in the field of goalkeeping. Gregor Kobel and Fabian Bredlo, both who have Bundesliga experience from last season with Nürnberg and Augsburg, respectively. If you're Tim Walter and you've seen them through preseason, which one would you be leaning towards?
I was really impressed with Bredlo last year, to be honest. I think he was one of the standout players in an incredibly disappointing Nürnberg side, but there are such worse problems to have. Obviously, they're fairly confident in which they wouldn't have let Robert Ziele go back to Hanover. Another person, Bundesliga pedigree, potentially too good for the side to Bundesliga. We'll see how that pans out. But no, I don't know which one you go with, but I'd definitely go with Bredlo.
See, I would go with Kerbel. On the basis, the 16 games he played, okay, he gave up 43 goals in those games. And you look at some of the games they played, the 8-1 at Wolfsburg, and on multiple occasions he gave up 5. Basically, he had a Swiss cheese, a block of Swiss cheese in front of him. So you can understand.
He didn't have help from his defence, did he, whatsoever?
No, and and I'll shamelessly plug a piece I did on him for Football Bloody Hell. You should go check that out on Gregor Kobel. I'm more confident with him between the sticks. It is only a loan deal anyway, so if it doesn't pan out, they can fall on Bredlo. But I think Kerbel would be winning the race for mine, and I think Tim Walter may agree. We'll move to Hanover, is the second team that went down. Change is quite familiar with the three teams that have been relegated. Mirko Slomka, unbelievable. He's the manager of Hanover this season, bringing back the glory days. I'm not being sarcastic. This is the way they're clearly thinking. He comes in. Ron Robertzilla returns to Hanover as well. They've also brought in the likes of Marvin Dux, who was the top scorer in the Zweite Bundesliga 2 seasons ago. Marcel Franke. This is his third Zweite Bundesliga club in 3 years. This time he has been bought. Sebastian Jung and Cedric Toikert come in. Toikert's on loan. And they've promoted a few players from their under-19s and their Zweite team. In particular, Sebastian Soto, the American, is one of interest for many. Key departures, Ilas Bebu to Hoffenheim, Fulkrug to Werder Bremen, and Saren Abazi to Augsburg. Elliot, a team that, let's be frank, was utterly atrocious last season in the Bundesliga. They've made a few signings in key areas that they've known that they've had issues in. What's been your impression on their summer so far?
Yeah, I think just off the field, really surprised to see Slomka make a return to the club. Obviously, hasn't been in work since being let go from Karlsruhe, I think, to end of 2017 or so. So from that angle, I think they may struggle this year. I think that's a really left-field appointment for them. Not too sure whether he's passed his sell-by date or not and whether he can do it, but I can't really see them doing much. And as the signings go, Franke wasn't bad from Norwich. He was quite good last year, but going forward, I really think they will maybe fare similarly to Hamburg, how they did last season, although there's not the same expectation. But Stuttgart, they've got it right off the field. Tim Walter will be brilliant. Sven Mislintat, he's got a great eye for talent, and you've seen that, and the players they've brought in for not too high fees. Whereas Hanover, I'm just reading through who they've brought in, and no one's really jumping out and saying that they're going to have a successful season. So it's a difficult league. You'll be punished. I can't see them excelling.
Yeah, it's one of those tricky ones. I mean, I think you get the feel-good factor with Ziele coming back, and the interest really there is that they've still kept Mikael Esser, who's currently injured at the moment. So had he been healthy, it would have been really interesting to see which one would have started, considering Esser, you know, led the Bundesliga in saves last season. I'm not entirely sure what way they would have gone. They obviously struggled to score goals last season. They bring in Dux, who had a troubling season at Dusseldorf. But yeah, it's one of those weird ones where you look at their squad and you don't feel very comfortable that it can consistently produce. I mean, if there's one player that I'm interested in watching, it'll be Linton Miner, someone who's come up through the junior ranks at Hanover, bundles of potential, and people will talk about him at nauseam. And I think he's someone that is due for a bigger role, and I think a lot of people can't wait to see him. Eva, I'm interested to get to see what your thoughts are on Hanover going into this season. You know, they've added not as many players as the other two relegated sides. How do you think their summer's been from your perspective, and how do you think the season may go with Slomka at the helm?
Well, for me, it's a bit like Stuttgart. I think not like a couple of years ago, they will not be dominating the league. I think, they have some good signings. I think a lot of Hannover fans are really keen to see Sebastian Soto play. But I think their preseason hasn't been extraordinary good or extraordinary in any kind. It's really tough for me to predict something like that before I even saw them play in an actual game, because preseason games are always a bit different. You should never overrate or underrate them in some ways. The good thing maybe for them is with their departures, nobody really is someone who overperformed last year. So because Hanover didn't overperform in any way last year, but sorry to say that. I hope I don't choke off any new Hanover fans who are listening. I might see some more Hanover games this year because I'm moving to Hanover. So well, we see how that will go. So fun times.
I think that's the perfect segue to move on to Nuremberg, the final of the teams. They actually finished bottom of the Bundesliga last season. They have had an interesting summer. Demir Kanadi is the new manager. He comes from the Greek league. New signings. The big one really is Nicola Dovedan from Heidenheim. £2.25 million is the fee, if we're going to use the pound system, which I will. Then they've brought in the likes of Robin Haack from Hoffenheim, Tim Handwerker from Köln. He was at Groningen last season. Fabian Schleusner, who played for Sandhausen last season, he comes from Freiburg. Felix Lohkemper from Magdeburg, Oliver Sorg. And Uwari, please forgive the pronunciation of this one, but Medeiros comes from Sporting Portugal. He comes on loan until, I think it's on loan. Don't quote me on that, please. The key departures, Edard Löwen goes to Hertha, Everton, and Tim Leibold to Hamburg. Fabian Bredlow, of course, to Stuttgart, and a bunch of others are unattached. Eva, I'll start with you with this one. You know, Nuremberg, they've outlined quite clearly that the next 2 years are quite pivotal. They don't expect to go up this season, although they'd like to be in the hunt, so to speak. What have been your opinions on their signings and how they'll integrate into the squad?
I do really like their signings. I think it's a really good mixture between some players of the Zweite Liga. I think Nicola Dovedan is a really, really good signing that Heidenheim will miss, because especially last season, he has grown as a player a lot. I think they're it's quite, as I said, quite good mixture. I think you can't go wrong with a former Köln player as well, or like they have with Köln, with Salzburg, with Hoffenheim, with Freiburg. They all have clubs that are Bundesliga teams, and I think when I just look at the signings, Nuremberg is maybe in for the best.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, their signings are, in terms of names, really good. I think Sorensen also is a good one from RB Salzburg. He obviously played the last two seasons with Jan. Elliot, I think one thing I've picked up with some of their preseason games, it seems that they're very intent on playing three at the back. We know that teams that aren't particularly good defensively will struggle using three at the back. And if you look at their squad depth, they only have, if I'm correct, three recognised central defenders in Georg Margreiter, Lucas Moulin, and Oscar Sorensen. Does that worry you, concern you, that they're a bit short-changed defensively, but they've got quite a lot of personnel in the final third?
1,000,000%. One or two injuries, and you're looking at playing your youth and inexperienced players, which you wouldn't really want. And even in this league with such teams with great attacking force, I don't know if you're really going to get away playing three and that same three for the whole season. So that's one area in which I'd be slightly worried with. But I think you hit the nail on the head there. They're not expecting to go up. They don't really have those high expectations after such an abysmal season. So I think if they can be there and thereabouts, potentially push for a playoff if they're doing well. But it's a rebuilding job. I think they're going to miss the players that they've lost out to, especially Lewin, who's such an exciting talent. But yeah, ideally, we've still got a few weeks left before the transfer window closes at the end of the month. They do need to bring in another centre-half, I'd say, and even a left-back. So they'll play it by ear. But if you're a Nuremberg fan, I wouldn't be expecting to set the league on fire. Is going to be a tough division, and they're probably going to struggle again. It's an odd one. The team's going down. There's not a Kern or a big club who you can see, yes, you've got good players here, you're expected to go up. It's going to be such a tight league, and it is incredibly hard to call at this stage of the season.
Oh, how lucky we are to be in this league. We will take a quick break. Our next section will be the promoted three from the Dritte Liga. We'll be back in just a moment. Yes, and the next three teams we're going to have a look at are the teams that have come up from the Dritte Liga. That's Osnabrück, Karlsruhe and Vejhan Wiesbaden. We'll start with the champions, Osnabrück, who return to the Zweite Bundesliga. It's a happy return. A lot of people are very happy to see them. A team that provides great atmosphere as a football club. A manager with an incredible story in Daniel Toner. And they've had a solid transfer window. The big name being Kevin Voltzer coming from Duisburg. Luke Gagening is coming from Greuther Fürth. Moritz Heyer from Hallescher. Brian Henning from FC Wacker. He comes from Austria. Nico Granatowski from Meppen. Not many key leavers for Osnabrück. Nicholas Schmidt as well comes on loan from Werder Bremen. He played for Wiesbaden last season. Elliot's champions of the Dritte Liga, a side that, you know, is quite solid. They've got Benjamin Gert, who played with Kiel for a bit before being sent on loan. This isn't particularly in our wheelhouse, being that they were a Dritte League club last season. How do you think that they might stack up in the Zweite Bundesliga?
Yeah, so as champions of the league, you would presume that they'd be fairly strong. I think they're going to be a bit of a surprise package in that not many will have heard too much of them. Obviously, they'll have their extensive scouting networks, but they're coming with some fairly under-the-radar players who all accounts could surprise. You mentioned Kevin Voltzer, he's a good addition. Apart from that, for the average football fan, you're not going to have heard of quite a lot of their squad, which, who knows, could play into their hands. But very, in comparison to your Stuttgarts and Hamburgs, they are quite a small team, and then they've not got the same budget to compete with these players. But they, again, without really seeing them play, it's so hard to call, but I think they'll struggle. I think everyone's going to struggle this season. I think that's just another catchphrase today. But on paper, they're not looking too strong. We'll just have to see how they fare.
Yeah, when I eventually announce my unfortunate predictions for the Zweite Bundesliga standings, which I'm sure will be wrong. I only managed three last season, so I was pretty proud of myself.
Three's not bad.
Yeah, it was Köln, Jan and Darmstadt with a three, so I was pretty happy with myself. I also said Duisburg were going to finish third, so, you know, that's how well we went.
Duisburg?
Yeah. Let's not remember This is last season. We've moved on from last season.
You brought it up.
Yeah, I'm a
as in third from top or third from bottom.
Third from. Man's got jokes. Man's got jokes. Let's get back to Osnabrück. You know, let's get to teams that are actually still in the league. Sorry, Duisburg fans. Yeah, I think they're going to struggle. I'm not entirely sure that they've got the core in attack that can be sustainable. Marcos Alvarez has been a staple for Osnabrück for quite some time. We know what we're going to get from him as a striker. I'm just not entirely sold on the entire squad build-up. Interested to see Niels Korber in goals. Ex-Hertha Berlin, young goalkeeper, was really good last season. Someone of interest. Eva, you might know the German footballing landscape a lot better than both of us in terms that you live there. What are your thoughts on Osnabrück as a team, club, and what they'll bring to the Zweite Bundesliga?
Well, as a Bielefeld fan myself, of course, it's the one club of the trio I'm more looking forward to because it brings the derby, a real derby with it. Sorry. I didn't really see any of the Osnabrück games, but just looking at the results, I think it wasn't for all three clubs particular extraordinary preseason. Like you had your usual, I don't know, regional clubs, and you just do it for the fans. It's not really to test them. I was a bit surprised Kevin Trapp, but that's the goalkeeper, Maurice Trapp. Mm-hmm. He was argued for a lot of other Zweite Bundesliga clubs, but I think it's not the best. It's not the worst choice to stay at Osnabrück, but as you said, I'm not really seeing any surprises from them. So we won't see a Paderborn revival with them. It would be a shame if they got relegated straight away. But it's Zweite Bundesliga, you never know, so I'm not predicting anything yet.
Yeah, she is a cutthroat league, this one. Let's move on to Karlsruhe, who finished second in the Dritte Liga. They needed the last match of the season to do so. Alias Schwarz is their manager. Interesting squad they've developed. It is, out of the three promoted sides, they have done not a whole lot to improve their squad. Lukas Freuder comes from Duisburg. He was quite good. He's ex-Werder Bremen as well. Marco Jurchen from... Please, I do apologise if I've pronounced them incorrectly. I will learn them over the course of the season. He's from Grasshoppers. Philip Hoffmann. That is a name that many...
What a player.
Yeah, what a player. A Schalke product. Played... you couldn't make that up. Obviously played with Kaiserslautern. As well, Brentford in the Championship. He was at Eintracht Braunschweig last season and didn't do a whole lot. But nevertheless, he's back in the Zweite Bundesliga. Very, very interesting. They've got some interesting players from the team that got promoted. Benjamin Uphoff, who was the goalkeeper, ex-Stuttgart. He was quite impressive from the games that I saw of Karlsruhe, which weren't too many. But anyway, Daniel Gordon is ex-Zweite Bundesliga. He was with Sandhausen. There are a couple of players I'm interested in watching. Marvin Vanciak is one of particular interest. And Anton Fink is a perennial goal scorer, one of much interest for many. Eva, Karlsruhe, again, I don't know how to get a read on them. They've had, and this will be the cliche, mind you, throughout, with certain teams who haven't done a whole lot. They've tried to keep the core relatively the same. They've added some good players, especially Freuder. How do you think that they will fare in the league this season?
Very difficult to say the least. I think, yeah, as you said, Philipp Hoffmann, like, if you do that, you could just get Christopher Nöte or Sören Brandy. Seriously. They at least were on the sheet of the zweite Bundesliga club. Like, come on, people. No, it's... Never thought I saw the name of Dominik Strohengel again. I remember when there was this great relegation game against Darmstadt. So, and a local newspaper did a comparison between Fabian Klose and Dominik Strohengel. I think we have the better one in the end. But yeah, it's a cool club. I'd say it brings a bit tradition into the zweite Liga. I think, sorry, certainly the police won't. Sorry, this is karma. The police won't look forward to that zweite Bundesliga season with Karlsruhe and Stuttgart clashing against each other again. But probably one of the highlights for them. I think nobody really waited for their opening game against Wien Wiesbaden. I mean, come on, you just got promoted from the Dritte Liga, and which side are you playing? Dritte Liga side, great. No, but it's, have to say, didn't see awful lot of them. So yeah, don't really expect a lot.
I think if we're honest, we're hoping that we're going to play Hannover on match day one, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure they're playing each other in the cup, if I'm correct in that. Only because the last time Karlsruhe were in the Zweite Bundesliga in the relegated season, the manager who helped them into that relegation to the Dritte Liga was none other than Mirko Slomka. So, you know, we can ask for so little and get so much in return. Elliot, it's... we were talking off air about the boy wonder Philipp Hoffmann, who is known for his unbelievably good goal scoring record. I, of course, speak incorrectly, of course. They've got some good strikers on the list. Why do you think they brought someone like Hoffmann into their team when they've already got strikers who are perhaps more capable than Hoffmann?
He was a fairly cheap signing, didn't break the budget there. I think he's always had a great deal of potential. Obviously, came through at Schalke, didn't really make it at Brentford. But, I mean, he's a pacey player. Looks bright. He just seems to struggle to find at the back of the net. So, I think he's a gamble. But, especially with him coming from Braunschweig, the finances were okay. He shows glimpses of being a potentially decent Zweite Bundesliga player, but just hasn't made it so far. So who knows? I wouldn't write him off completely, but his goal scoring record to date isn't very good. But one, cheap option. Two, numbers as well. You're right, they do have the other options, but it's no harm having someone to make up the bench or help the roster in that regard. But I don't know. I hope he does all right. I know we sit here and ridicule him, but it is tricky. But in this league, a good run of form, who knows where it can take you. So we'll see. But again, another team who will be struggling there and thereabouts around the bottom of the league. But it's just going to see if they can compete against your Sandhausens and see where they lie, really. But it should be an interesting season for him.
That it shall. And for Karlsruhe, that leads us on to Wien Wiesbaden, who, of course, won their way into the Zweite Bundesliga, beating Ingolstadt in the playoffs. We know one person who wasn't particularly happy about that, but that is the way it all goes. They've been quite busy in the transfer window. A lot of signings from either Dritte Liga clubs or, in fact, second teams from likes of Borussia Dortmund, Nürnberg. Interesting signings, Michael Niemeyer from Magdeburg, Philipp Tietz from Paderborn. He played at Karl-Heinz Jena in the Dritte Liga, so they got a good look at him. Benedikt Rocker returns to Germany after a stint at Brøndby. He's ex-Stuttgart and Greuther Fürth. Elliot, of course, we didn't see a whole lot of Wiesbaden, but we did see them in the playoffs. Was there anything that you took away from Rüdiger Rehm's side that could help them into this season?
I think the general consensus is we've seen them play twice and they had one good half in that, which is why we're discussing them in the Zweite Bundesliga. Again, they're going to be a complete surprise package looking at the players, and I'm going to completely honest, I don't recognise half of them, so I don't know where to predict them, what to say. No one expects them to beat Ingolstadt, let's not forget that, especially after the first leg. They do really well to come back into it and get that advantage, so who knows there. I'm going to put my neck on the line here though and say that their logo is the nicest in the division. I've just been admiring it, and if you've not seen it, go and Google it. It's really nice. It's got some fleur-de-lises and it's gold with some red. It looks really cool. So that is my insight.
Well, I mean,
it's really nice.
That's, I guess that's one that you do use for Ultimate Team or something like that in FIFA, maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe the Bochum one is probably more in tune, just, you know, in case Moritz is listening. Eva, I guess we'll get you to have a quick word on Wiesbaden. Small club. Let's not beat around the bush. They do have some players with Zweite Bundesliga experience. Patrick Schoenfeld, who's been with Bielefeld. Marcel Tisch Rivera, who I think we're all happy to see back in the Zweite Bundesliga. Should never have been in the Dritte Liga in the first place. Too good for that league. Be good to see him back. What's your impression on the squad makeup for Wiesbaden and how it might go this season?
Well, probably the two people I know most of are Patrick Schoenfeld and, of course, Rüdiger Rehm. And that's something that worries me a bit if you look from the Wien perspective, because he was, coach at Armenia's, of course, and not a really good one. but that might have been a coincidence as well, because he took over from Norbert Meyer, of course. But I'm a bit worried that his way or style of playing isn't really fit for the Zweite Liga. Because to play one good half in a total of four isn't going to bring you anywhere on the long road. I think with Patrick Schoenfeld, you have someone who's really a fighter, who really gives a lot for the club he's currently playing. But probably that would be probably the club I have for getting relegated on the first hinge, probably.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't like their chances. That being said, they did lead the Dritte Liga in goals scored, and if you look at the teams who have done that prior, Paderborn. And they were promoted up to the Bundesliga. Not saying that they are a Paderborn type, but you never know. Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk about another three teams, namely teams from the north. Do join us in just a moment. The first team from the northern trio is going to be HSV Hamburg. Of course, they didn't expect to be here, and yet here we are, a secondary season in the Zweite Bundesliga season. That iconic clock is gone, and in it, its place is its coordinates. How things change. They have been busy in the transfer window. David Kinzombi, of course, was announced during the winter break that he would be joining from Kiel, and he does so. Everton and Leibold, as we mentioned, come from Nuremberg. Daniel Hoyer Fernandez seems to be the disputed number one for Hamburg. He comes from Darmstadt. Sonny Kittel, Jeremy Dudziak, Jan Jimmera, and Lucas Hintzsiher, the latter two coming from Bochum. Adrian Fein from Bayern München 2. Their departures, Douglas Santos, they got a nice little fee for him from Zenit St. Petersburg. Filip Kostic, of course, goes to Eintracht. Other big names, Pierre-Michel Loxaga goes to Al Arabi. Lewis Holtby has been let go by the club. They also announced that their captain for this season will once again be Aaron Hunt. Rick van Drongelen will be his assistant. And, of course, the last departure is Jan Vieter Arp. He's going to Bayern Munich. I'm not sure which Bayern Munich he's going to be playing for, if he'll be playing for the Zwei or the first team, but we will see. Elliot's, of course, the big news also is that they've got a new manager in Dieter Hecking. He is ex-Borussia Mönchengladbach. Interesting direction the club have gone with to go with the experienced figurehead of Hecking. What were your thoughts on the appointment, and how do you think he will be able to transform this team going forward?
I think it's a brilliant appointment. Vastly experienced coach who was, let's not forget, doing quite a good job at Borussia Mönchengladbach. So there was a lot of surprise when it was announced that he'd be leaving, and especially dropping down to Hamburg. Of course, they're such a proud, historic club, but at this moment in time, it's not the easiest of roles to walk into and get a guaranteed promotion. But in that regard, I think he's a brilliant signing, experienced head, and can bring the best out of these players. And even off the pitch, I think, out of anyone, I am weirdly optimistic for Hamburg after such an abysmal season where, on and off the pitch, they were an absolute shambles. The laughing stock of the league. I think now they've brought in some good players. Obviously, the two lads from VfL, especially Hinterseer, I think will kick on and do quite well. Even with Sonny Kittel and Everton, they've signed some really interesting players who are going to do well in the league. And yep, Lasaga's gone for some big money abroad, but I think Hecking will get a regimented and disciplined team, which can... And they have the potential to be automatic promotion. I know we said that last season, and potentially they were overhyped and choked, but I think having a season to acclimatise to the league, they'll now kick on and do okay. So out of anyone, I'm the most optimistic for Hamburg. Weirdly. That sounded really wrong to say.
I kind of agree with you. I've had to toil away and think of their chances of going up. And I know last season we all were pretty adamant that they were going to go straight back up, and then cue the music for the comedic efforts of HSV as they choked away their season with terrible decision after terrible decision. But I like their signings. Their signings actually make sense, unlike last season. They're a better fit. Yes, they've raided teams from the Zweite Bundesliga, and as a lot of teams do, like Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga. They've made good signings. They've not spent a whole lot of money on certain players. I mean, you know, Jim Rohn, Hinterseer came on a free, Dudziak's on a free. Fernandes is a good goalkeeper, and he's proven that. And by doing so, Hecking is very adamant to reshuffle the decks, essentially. We've got a list of five players that he has essentially told can leave the club. Julian Polisbeck, who, you know, I would say would benefit from a change. I don't think he's at the standard of a Bundesliga goalkeeper. There was talk Red Bull Salzburg were interested. Vasily Janjicic, Tatsuya Ito, who I quite like as a footballer, but it's pretty evident that when Tietz went, so did he, essentially. He hasn't really had much of a look in. David Bates, who came from Rangers, who was quite decent last season, but he seems to be on the outer. And Gotoku Sakai also has been told that he will have no further role. Japan seems most likely for him unless he finds an opportunity in Europe. Either, of course, the weight of expectations on them was quite high last season. They failed dramatically. It's been an interesting summer of signings. Out of the signings they've made, which ones pops out at you as one that could be really pivotal in their push for promotion?
Trick question. Sorry for all the Bochum fans out there, but maybe Hinterseer. I can think that he will be really eager to play under Hecking. It's Also, I think Lazaga wouldn't be a real part of Hacking's way of playing because he has too much of the ego probably. And Hacking always seems someone who is more able to work with players who are a bit more down to earth. I think someone I'm not really sure whether Hamburg is the best idea for him is probably Dujak. I don't really get why he wanted to change within the city. He's not a particular good player. I don't think he will play a big role, but we will see. But I think because the pressure is released a bit, because now it lies on the three Bundesliga sides to get up immediately. And in Hamburg, everyone is, okay, now we're not the one who is favorites to go up or in that trio in any way. So they might actually enjoy this season. And you never know, maybe because of that, because not everyone in the club expect them to go up immediately now. It's a bit, they have a more joyful season ahead.
We shall see. And like Lotto King Karl, who of course won't be singing Hamburg Mein Perler as he's been sent away, we're going to go to their crosstown rivals and go to St. Pauli, who have had a quiet summer. Considering what Hamburg have done, not many signings. Boris Tashi comes from Duisburg. Rico Benatelli was announced in the winter transfer. Leo Ostigard comes on loan from Brighton and Hove Albion. He's a young, promising central defender. Lucas Zander, who was on loan from Werder Bremen, he has been bought. Notable departures, of course, Dudziak and Neudecker. Neudecker's gone to VVV Venlo. Die Fußballgott Alexander Meyer has been released. Sami Alagui has also left the club. Eva, we were highly critical, and rightfully so, of Jos Luhukay in his stint towards the end of the season. What are your thoughts on their transfer window? And can Jos Luhukay, with a full pre-season, be able to get St. Pauli off to a positive start?
Honestly, I'm not seeing anything, I don't know, extraordinarily happen to St. Pauli next season or this season. He's a really weird coach in many ways, I'd say. He always seems to be a bit afraid of his own courage. The signings there, there are one or two that might have a huge impact on the club, but nothing that you would say, okay, this is like a huge or really good signing. St. Pauli is like a forever Zweite Bundesliga club for me, as well as Bochum, maybe. Like, I don't see them really being... sorry, challenge to get relegated, but not really challenging the others to get promoted either.
The knives have come out. Elliot,
ouch.
let's keep with St. Pauli. We can talk Bochum in the next segment. Really disappointing end to last campaign. They lacked all sorts of cohesion. It didn't seem like any of the players were particularly convinced that even Luhukay was the right man. The squad is relatively intact in terms of personnel. They get the likes of Herk Vermeer back from injury, who missed a good chunk of the season. They've still got some nice players in the squad. Out of the squad, is there a particular player who will shine above and really push St. Pauli forward?
Not really, no. I think they've got an incredibly average squad with a lesson where the manager, and they're going to struggle this season. Unfortunately, I agreed with quite a lot of what Eva said then. They're not going to challenge going up. Going down, they should they shouldn't really be in any threat. But, I mean, they're an absolute shadow of the team that played the first half of the season last year. I think they're up in third or so for the majority of it. We're sitting here saying the playoff spot was theirs to throw away. Then it was just complete self-destruction. And Luka Kai is not an inspirational coach. When he came in for the final five, six games, he didn't have that effect they'd hoped for. There still seems to be a negative buzz around the football club, and off the pitch, their fans are incredible. They'll do amazing things. They're a really cool club, brilliant club, but the players they have and the manager, top six, I can't see them being in it. Even at the moment, I'd say Fowler looking stronger than them. And for a club which was in the driving seat for a lot of last season, I think they've completely fallen away and shot themselves in the foot, really. So not expecting big things at all. And just look at the signings again. I mean, Bentinelli could do quite well, but no real big names who are going to blow me away and impress. So could be a long season for them.
And from that, we will go to Kiel. It's another season of change for them. It's the third manager in three seasons from Marcus Anfang, Tim Walter. Andre Schubert is the man in charge of Kiel this season. His experience portfolio, St. Pauli is one of them. Of course, if you've seen the documentary Trainer, if not, go on Netflix, check it out. Best 2 hours of football you will see behind the scenes. So he is in. He was at Eintracht Braunschweig for the second half of the Dritte Liga. He got them to safety just. And he comes in. And he's been pretty busy in the transfer window, bringing in players. David Atanga comes from RB Salzburg. He played at Greuther Fürth. Makani Baku from Grosspark is an interesting signing, same with Ioannis Helios, who is ex-Augsburg, and he was at Hansa Rostock last season. He was quite impressive. Yongjae Seul from Duisburg. Daniel Hanslick, Mikael Ibovine, Phil Neumann from Ingolstadt, and Emmanuel Ayoa, who comes on loan from Fortuna Dusseldorf. Of course, the notable absentees from the season will be Kinsombi, Karazor, Kingsley Schindler at Köln, Heinz Marschall, who played a bit part. He is going to everyone's favourite club in a certain region, Prussian Munster, obviously. Elliot, you know, Kiel have had quite a big turnover in players and staff. Do you feel that this time with Schubert in charge, it might be a little bit too unsettling to the squad? Or do you think that the players they've brought in and Andre Schubert as the manager, they can continue the flow that they had for the past two seasons?
Yeah, obviously this time last year, we sat here saying that they'd missed Tim Walter, Anfang, we went to Köln. It'll be the same with Tim Walter, fair play to whoever keeps on finding these good managers. But you mentioned that trainer documentary, which is really interesting to watch. I didn't think Schubert came across very well in that at all. The main winners were Frank Schmidt. I think the little Heidenheim segment, incredible work that had gone on there. He seemed to struggle really being respected and having good relationships with his squad there. So it could be too much to ask. There is a great overhaul, although I think Lee Jae-sung, I do really like him. South Korean forward, midfielder, who was very good, especially the first half of last season, tailed off a bit towards the end. It's going to be tricky for Kiel. Don't know whether they'll be replicating their third place finish a few years ago. We'll just have to play it by ear and see how it is, but very tricky to see how those sidings are going to gel. Saying that, they've had a good pre-season, so definitely top 10 for them, but whether they're there and thereabouts with the big boys is yet to be seen.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting with them. I mean, a third and a sixth place finish in their first two seasons, or his last two seasons in the Zweite Bundesliga, very, very impressive. I just worry about the squad depth and the turnover. I think, you know, they've been able to keep some of their really good players like Alexander Mühling, who may be on the radar of clubs later on. I think he's been very impressive for them. They've kept the core defensively with Dominic Schmidt, Stefan Teske. The interesting one is Hauke Wahl. From what I'm gathering from their preseason, he's going to be playing as a number six in defensive midfield, which I think is quite interesting. And a bit of a surprise, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, all reports it's been going quite well. He's adjusted to the role in spades. If we look at their squad, it is solid. They've got good, you know, they've got some decent depth around the place. If you were in charge of Kiel, is there any area you would add to before the season begins, or would you leave it as it is?
That's tough. I think it's the midfield looks a bit sad at the moment. Might be a bit challenging if one or two of them getting injured. But I think this is also something you could only really answer when you saw them play in a real league game. It's probably, I think, not quite, not a big fan of André Schubert. I think he's kind of a weird coach. I don't really see where he goes with his teams. He seems a bit kind of a savior type. But I remember him being at St. Pauli, not really, more of a poor job. I do feel sorry for Kiel because they're like little fighters. Everyone thought last season they would like definitely get relegated, losing good players. But I don't think they will copy last season. I really don't see it happening. Especially Tim Walter was a really cool coach. With him, they lost huge character. And I don't see André Schubert in any way copying what Tim Walter did last season.
It will be interesting. Again, it's not a job that will have particular pressure in the early stages. It will be interesting to see if Schubert is able to translate his ideas to this Kiel side. And they can still be as prominent factor in the season ahead. We'll take a quick break. We are going to make our way west. With Bochum, and the likes of Bochum and Bielefeld will be the two, and Heidenheim will be the next three that we will preview in just a bit. Let's start with Bochum as our next set of teams to preview for the season ahead. A side that started the season like a house on fire. They were in the top six. Everything was daisy and roses and everything was great. And then they completely fell apart and recovered into mid-table mediocrity, as some would say. Not being mean, but let's be honest, that's what it was. Elliot, you had a front row seat, essentially, for the second half of the season. You got to be amongst the likes of Chung Yong Lee, Tommy Vaillant, and the likes. It's been an interesting summer for them. They've brought in the likes of Danny Blum from Eintracht Frankfurt, who was away on loan in Spain. Patrick Juez becomes the sort of backup but competing option for Manuel Riemann. He comes from Würzburg. Jordi Osiatutu from Arsenal's under-23s. Solio Dekali from Club Brugge. Brugger, he also has Zweite Bundesliga experience with Eintracht Braunschweig, and a couple of others, Jan Weilers and Maxwell Giamfi, come up from the under-19s. Interesting squad mix. They've obviously got rid of some of the dead weight, like Robbie Cruz, for example. What's the outlook for Bochum this season?
Yeah, I think it's quite good. Gamvula's come back. He signed a permanent deal at the club, which is an interesting one. He started off quite slowly, but final few games of the season, he really came into his own and looks like an exciting prospect. So we're happy to have him. Jordi Osiatutu, young fullback from Arsenal. I think he's only 19 or so, but especially in a few preseason friendlies against Grasshoppers and Barnsley, he's looked really, really good. Attacking threat, very strong going forward. Defensively, may need to work on that a tiny bit, but he's a really good threat. Not too much activity, but we've added where we needed, especially in the fullback area where that's been helped a bit. And you said dead weight, Sydney Sam, Robbie Cruiser, getting higher earners off the wage bill was quite important, and that's happened. But yeah, will be interesting to see. Obviously, in my opinion, I still think we're lacking a striker after losing Kintazera in his 19 or so goals. That is a big ask. I know we've got the lovely Simon Sola, who we're hoping will step into his shoes. Obviously, he was plagued with a few injuries last season, which stopped him playing regularly. But I think a striker's needed. But backup goalkeeper in, we've rebusted the squad, which is good. Just hopefully we can have more of the first half of the season. It all went downhill as soon as we founded the English Twitter account. I think we had like six games in a row where the club failed to win, which wasn't very good at building the profile there. But hopefully we've set up a solid foundation for a good season. We've got the consistency with another season with Robin Dutt as well. So hopefully it's a lot better than the Rutgrunder.
It will be interesting to see, of course, who could forget that unforgettable February where they failed to pick up a single point.
Not me.
Excuse me.
Karma.
Yeah, that was karma. Zweite Bundesliga cough is back. We look at the squad as a whole. Eva, Elliot touched on it quite well. You know, they've made some good strides. They've seemed to have got younger as well. How do you see their prospects? I mean, a team that has, it's fair to say, is a Zweite Bundesliga regular. I think they are the longest standing Zweite Bundesliga club at the moment.
We're the dinosaurs.
Yeah, Der Dino. Obviously, Zweite Bundesliga. Eva.
Yeah. Zweite Bundesliga.
Yeah, don't quote me, please. I know my German is terrible. Let's leave it at that. Eva, what's your thoughts on their squad and how do you think they'll go this season?
Well, I think they are quite good pre-season. Of course, this was a bit challenged by that whole, say, 2-2 drama with St. Gallen, which was, I think, not a really nice way to start a year in Germany. But I think, it's not no real signings that take your breath away, I'd say. But I think they have quite solid squad. But I don't see them like have anything to do with promotion, to be honest.
Yeah, it's hard to think that they'll be in the race, but you know, they've shown that as a side that they, and under Robin Dutt, they can go on a streak and they can win games in a flurry. So they could be a potential dark horse, but maybe not one that you'd hold your breath on to do so. And that leads us to probably a team that may be in a similar situation, but just go 12 months prior. That's Arminia Bielefeld. They ended the season really, really well. They were mightily impressive in the Rückrunde. If I'm correct, they were the second best team in accumulation of points. Only Paderborn was better. Quiet transfer window, it has to be said. Not the big names, or you know, they've bought within their needs. They've strengthened the squad. Joachim Nielsen in defence. He comes from Augsburg. Sebo Soku, who has Zweite Bundesliga experience with Aue, recently of Rostock. He's been at the African Cup of Nations. Fabian Kunz from Rodinghausen, and Agriston Kiss, who is on loan. Is an under-19 goalkeeper and looking to gain some experience, but probably won't play. But nevertheless, getting used to the setup. Eva, it's been, you know, a quiet summer, but they've, like Bochum, they've had a clear out of the players they don't need, like your Christopher Nurses, your Soren Brandys, you know, the elite talent on display. also, Leonardo Pottari, he is officially exiled to Braunschweig, which I'm sure you're really sad about. Tell us how Armenia is looking going into the season, and how hopeful are you that they will go well this season?
Well, the games I watched and I saw was against, I think it was run in Austria, which was, I think, 4-0 or something like that, against a Czech club. I'm not quite sure anymore. I think what a lot of Armenia fans were hoping for was somebody for the defense, which we got. I saw him play last weekend against Norwich City. Next to Amos Pipa, they made some mistakes, but I think overall it's quite good duo that we got there. Of course, we still have Stefan Zaga and Brian Behrendt as well, so four players that are quite good for central defense. And then, yeah, the rest, I think Max Christiansen will leave us soon as well, which I never thought I'd say that, but one player I was quite happy about, was actually quite surprised to see back in good shape, was Keanu Stauder. He played a really, really good preseason until now in several games. I can't say anything about Zoku yet because he didn't play it, because, as you said, he was with his nation, Benin, and part of the Africa Cup. I still don't get why we kept Sven Chiplock. For the sake of Niels Kvasner, I just hope he just is able to get back on the pitch, also hoping that Brunner can play. But we won't overachieve anything, but I'm quite happy with the team so far.
They've had a decent preseason. I think they've filled gaps where they felt necessary. They haven't gone and brought in players in their drones to strengthen. It'll be interesting, a full season under Uwe Neuhaus. Their Rückrunde was very good, as mentioned before. Elliot, I'm interested to get your thoughts on the squad itself. It looks to have good balance. They've got depth in a lot of places. Do you think this side has the potential to be a dark horse and maybe a promotion to it, or do you think they're a team in the mid-table?
Yeah, I think they've done well adding strength and depth to the squads, but to go as much and say a dark horse pushing promotion, I'd have to disagree with that, really. I'd sort of predict no higher than 6th or so, but it'll be interesting to see how they gel and get on.
That it will. We'll move on to Heidenheim then, the last of the teams in this segment. It's been a tough summer for them. They've lost some key players, notably, of course, Nikola Dovedan to Nürnberg. Robert Andrik is going to Union Berlin in their promotion push. And Tim Skarke, who in the Heidenheim circles considered as a pretty solid player, he's trying to get some more first-team opportunities, so he heads to Darmstadt. The signings, they've promoted four from the under-19s. David Otto comes from Hoffenheim on loan. Highly regarded striker indeed, so he's looking to get some proper first-team minutes in in the Zweite Bundesliga. Oliver Husing joins from Hansa Rostock, and Jonas Forenbach, who was at Jan Regensburg, he was a Freiburg player, now he is in Heidenheim. Elliot, of course, the departures, some of them are quite key. They overachieved last season, let's not make any bones about it. Do you feel that this could be a bit of a stretch for them this season, or will they be able to just compete in the mid-table?
I don't know, really. We always write off Heidenheim and we're surprised with the work that Frank Schmidt did there, but I think he's an incredible coach at taking lesser players, getting them fairly well regimented and playing together as a team and doing incredible things. And they've kept the core of the squad, which has done so well. Even, obviously, they've not got the biggest budget, fairly small team in comparison to others in the league, to go and splash the cash. But I wouldn't expect them to replicate what they did last year. I think they'd be stupid to readjust their expectations and think that that's where the club is now at. And I think their fans are fairly good at being realistic in that regard. But no big name signings coming in. But I still think that this team will happily sit in the top half and provide scalps against bigger teams as it did last season. I think good management goes an incredibly long way in this league. And under Schmidt, they have exactly that.
Yeah, they were absolutely fantastic at home, and they caused havoc for a lot of sides. And yeah, like I 100% agree with you. I'm just a bit uncertain. That they don't have the depth in midfield that they did last season. A lot will fall on the shoulders of Nicholas Dorschu. I'm surprised it wasn't picked up by a Bundesliga club. He's got bundles of talent, and he really is a fantastic midfielder. It will be interesting to see. Eva, what are your thoughts on Heidenheim? Is there much that we can read into the fact that they haven't really bolstered the midfield, or do you think everything will sort itself out, as Elliot said, with Schmidt being a fantastic manager?
It's really tough this season. I think it might be enough, but it's always people like Dorsch or Griesbeck getting injured, and you have two of, I think, more or less really key players of the midfield out. I don't see them achieving like last year. I'd say like solid midfield, maybe up to 7th or 8th place, but nothing higher actually. But this league is like surprising me every year. So yeah, but I think that they're always a huge surprise package. You always forget about them, that they're in the league and that they're really able to surprise you and surprise the big clubs as well. It can be really interesting. It's always tough playing against them.
That it is. And from that, we'll take our final break and we will preview the remaining sides in the Zweite Bundesliga in just a moment. And we're going to start the last segment with Jan Regensburg, who are amongst a number of clubs who have changed their managers. Of course, Akin Bielorza has said Auf Wiedersehen. He's off at Köln. Mirsad Selimbegovic, who was his assistant and really identifies with Jan Regensburg, he is the man in charge of the side. They've had an interesting summer. Of course, their departures are pivotal. The likes of Hamadi Agudui and Sargas Adamyan, they combined for 23 goals last season. And how they replace those goals will be quite interesting. If they can find another goal scorer alongside Marco Grüttner. Filipenka leaves for Hoffenheim, which sees a new goalkeeper enter the fray in Alexander Meyer. He comes from Stuttgart. Jan-Marc Schneider could be a goal-scoring option. He is joining from St. Pauli. Tom Bach is also an interesting option, potentially playing centre-back or even defensive midfield. He comes from Bochum. Elliot, it's an interesting one with Jan. They seem to defy the odds in terms of expectations. New coach this season, previous with Bielorza, and then before that with Heiko Herrlich. They've found ways to defy the odds. Can they do so again this season?
I think it'll be harder now, having already shown their talents under Bielorza. People became accustomed to their game plan and they tailed off slightly in their form. Saying that, Tom Bach, very good prospect to the heart of centre defence. I think he will do well at the club, and it's good to see him staying in its Zweite Bundesliga because he is a good prospect going forward from VfL Bochum. But again, it's tricky. It's so hard to guess and gauge how these teams and new managers are going to come. I guess from hiring from within, he'll know the club structure, how they work, how they play. I don't think Jan will go down. I think they're fairly solid and they do always surprise and come up trumps when we least expect it to, but probably bottom half of the yarn. I don't know how you see it.
No, I tend to agree in that regard. I think they are in an interesting position that, you know, they've retained certain key figures. I mean, the losses of likes of Sorensen, who's obviously now at Nürnberg because of the way that's all panned out. They've lost some key players. How they fill the holes. Okay, Tim Knipping from Sandhausen is an interesting signing. My concern is midfield depth. They don't have a whole lot of it. So how they're able to fill the gaps will be quite interesting. They're an interesting side. They somehow find ways to pick up points. They were very solid at home last season. The year before, they were extraordinary away from home. Who knows? They're an interesting team and one team that you cannot treat lightly. Let's move to Darmstadt, who had a very interesting season, I guess. It was quite turbulent, but they found ways around it. Dimitris Gramotsis showcased that he can be a very good manager at this level, and he hasn't wasted no time in implementing a transfer strategy that brings in experienced players from different clubs. More importantly, the likes of Marcel Schoen from Sandhausen, Eric Berko from Dynamo Dresden, Fabian Schnellhardt of Duisburg, Dario Dumic from Utrecht, who was with Dresden last season, as well as Matthias Honsack, who played with Holstein Kiel via RB Salzburg. Key departure is, of course, Daniel Hoyer Fernandez. He's the big one. The rest, probably you can live without, and I think they will do so. Eva, I think with Darmstadt, their squad is well-balanced. They've got good depth in positions that's required. You know, she's centre halves. They've brought in another decent Zweite Bundesliga goalkeeper in Schürrle. Who, out of the list of players, who do you think will be most important for them going forward in this season?
I would, for example, say Marcel Schoen. I think he was a really good goalkeeper for Sandhausen. And, of course, it's having a good goalkeeper is pretty much an advantage going into the season, especially one that has experience with the league or in the league. Besides that, I think that players like Matthias Honsack or Tim Skarko will really play role for Darmstadt, but nevertheless I don't really see them overachieving anything this season. Probably now that I say it, they will probably get promoted, but never mind. This is just I don't think that they will have anything to do with the relegation, but I don't see them have anything to do with promotion either. So somewhere around where predicted, maybe Bochum or even St. Pauli, probably.
I like their squad quite a bit. I think they've got some really interesting players. Marvin Mellem was brilliant, I think, in his first full season in the Zweite Bundesliga. He had some really impressive performances. The one that always sticks out to me is the game against Hamburg where he turned it on its head and it became one of the more infamous comebacks of the season. I think, as you mentioned, Honsack, who showed glimpses, but has, throughout his career, injury has always cut short his season in some way. I'd be interested to see how he's implemented, and I think they've got a nice squad. Again, I don't think they're a promotion candidate, but you never know. They could be in that top half of the table and can cause some troubles for certain teams, and I think they might be a team, sneaky team to look out for. We'll move to Dresden, who have, you know, made some changes to their squad, like many others. The key one in goal is Markus Schubert. He leaves on a free to Schalke. Eric Berko, as mentioned, to the team previously mentioned in Darmstadt. Their signings, Kevin Brolf, to compete with Tim Bossen and Patrick Vigas for the goalkeeping spot. Rennie Klingborg comes from Prussian Munster. He, alongside Kobi Lansky, was easily their best two players. So I'm sure a certain team or City near Munster would be more than happy to see them get a lot weaker. Chris Lever comes from Huddersfield Town, experienced left back. It fills a void that they didn't replace last season after the departure of Philip Heiser. Elliot, their squad is not too bad. They've made improvements. The key was keeping Moussa Kone, who Barnsley fans and Barnsley themselves were really interested in signing, but he has committed to the club. How important will he be for Dresden this season?
Yeah, incredibly so. But I think you are right in summarising it that the squad isn't really going to blow anyone away. Not overly strong in the league. I think most important thing for them is that they've sorted their manager out. Obviously, after Mike van Peergis, it was important that he was replaced by someone good. And I think Christian Fiel really has brought back a feel-good factor to Dresden. It's now becoming a tricky place to travel away from home. Incredible, passionate supporters who often act as their 12th man and really do help the side, which technically, if you look at their squad list, isn't the most talented team. I think they might miss Berko next year as well. He did pop up with the occasional goal every now and again, but it's tricky to really gauge where Dresden are going to be. But I think they will be there, and they're amongst it at the bottom of the division, unfortunately so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes we get this, we expect a lot more of them because they're that big club from the East, and I don't know, maybe sometimes we want them to be better than they really are. And they have nice players. They have pieces that can, you know, they can be a solid Zweite Bundesliga side. And obviously it didn't work out with Uwe Neuhaus in the end and Mike Valpurgis. But, you know, they could be a solid mid-table team at best. I don't know. It really depends for me on how they start the season. They really got off on the wrong foot. And Valpurgis gave them a little bit of a spark, and then they fell away again. So it will be interesting. But yeah, I think I agree with you, Elliot. I think they're not really going to be challenging too much. Off to Fürth then. De Kleibert have, you know, made strides under Stefan Leitl towards the end of last season. Quietish summer, some key departures leaving, especially in the heart of defence, with Mario Malacca and Richard Magyar both leaving. Mergen Mavro returns. He comes in from Ingolstadt. They've brought in Marvin Stefaniak from Wolfsburg, and Paul Seguin is going to stay. Hans Sape from Stuttgart, as well as Marco Meyerhofer from Waldhof Mannheim. Eva, it was a tale of two halves for them last season. At some stage, they were second in the Zweite Bundesliga, and then they were pushing the proverbial in the relegation zone before Stefan Leitl stepped in to help them survive the drop. What are your thoughts on the outlook for Fürth, and how do you reckon they'll go this season?
Actually, I have to say, I don't know why, but sorry for that, Danny, but I kind of have the feeling that they might struggle with relegation this year. I generally don't know why I have this feeling, but maybe it's because of Stefan Leitl. He just brings in the spirit. Of course, they have people like Paul Seguin in or Megan Marrow, but nothing really that strikes me to be really extraordinary, or they might. So if they stay in the league, it's going to be a tough one, I assume. Another tough season for them, actually. Because the competition is so, so big in this league. And that's why I don't really see them overachieving anything above maybe 12th or 13th place.
I think the key for them will be finding a secondary goal scorer. Daniel Cater-Royal scored the vast majority of them for them, and they need someone to step up, whether it's Sean Parker, if he can stay healthy. I mean, Marvin Stefaniak, my vivid memory of him at Dresden, he was a supremely talented player, but has been in the footballing wilderness at Wolfsburg. I'm interested to see how he goes. They just need someone to support him. And if they can do so, they'll be fine. But yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, they might be in that bottom six once again. And Stefan Lottl may have improved them defensively, but going forward, they did struggle a little bit. And I'm not entirely sure that they have the pieces to well, they should stave off relegation, but I'm not sure they can go any further than in that bottom six. Erzgebirge Aue is the next team to preview. We have just two remaining. An interesting summer for them. They've been relatively astute. They've gone far and wide in their recruitment process. Nicholas Sessa from Arlen. Of course, Arlen relegated to the fourth tier of German football. Marko Mihailovic from Pauk in Greece. Soren Gunzer comes from Dresden, which is quite an interesting one, and a bunch of other players. The one, Mario Kvesic, who is a Zweite Bundesliga superstar, he's gone. He's off to Magdeburg. As recording this podcast, he is about to line up for them against Eintracht Braunschweig. Luke Hemrick, who is a Schalke Academy player, didn't work out for him, so he's off to Würzburg. And Sascha Hartl is off to Zwickau as well in the Dritte Liga. Please, again, pronunciation. It is way too late for me to be doing this podcast, so I do apologise if A, I'm losing my voice, and B, my pronunciation for this episode has been absolutely atrocious. Elliot, I think every year with them, it seems to be the same. Avoid relegation, wash, rinse, and repeat. Do you get the feeling it's going to be much of the same for them? They're going to have some good games where they stun the masses, but ultimately they'll be in that bottom six, staving off relegation.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. You saw the way in which they celebrated survival last season, printed T-shirts, celebrations in and around the pitch. It's no secret that that is their main goal, and I think this is one of the sides that are going to benefit the most from the three newly promoted sides. On paper, they're no longer one of the teams who should drop down. So I think they will stay up, perhaps, potentially not on their merit, potentially, because the league will become weaker just through having the three teams from the Dritte be promoted. But yeah, they're an awkward side to go to. They're quite like our nice mining identity they share with VfL Bochum. But again, they're going to rely quite a bit on the loan players they've signed. But yeah, they're not going to be running away at the top at all. But here and there, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a few scalps at home, in which they had a fairly decent form.
They did. And the Erzgebirge Stadion has been a tricky place to pick up points. You can attest with St. Pauli as a team that has really, really struggled to win games there. I think Arminia Bielefeld also succumbed to defeat there. Bochum was beaten there. I mean, it's a tough place to pick up points. As per usual, it seems their away form seems to be their Achilles heel. But they find ways to pick up points. I think they will survive, but by the skin of their teeth, they might be a 15th, or they'll have to go through the playoffs. But I think they will be back in the Zweite Bundesliga at the end of the season. The last team to preview is Sandhausen, and last but not least, very busy summer for them. They have brought in a bunch of players this campaign. The return of Aziz Buhaduz, Ulis Baeda comes from Kaiserslautern. A bit of a weird signing, that one. I'm not entirely sure he fits what they need. Philip Turpitz was a prized signing from Magdeburg. Teams like Arminia Bielefeld were interested in his services, but he chose Sandhausen, unbelievably. Marlon Frey is an ex-Bayer Leverkusen under-21 and first-teamer, but barely played. He was at PSV Eindhoven's under-21s. He comes in as well. Philip Heerwagen provides competition between the sticks. For them, he will be competing against Martin Fraisel and Rick Vula. Eva, their squad looks okay in consideration. And I say okay, but the big loss is Andrew Vooten, who scored over 40% of their goals last season. Do you think they've done enough to replace him? And if so, who are the players we should look out for Sandhausen going forward?
Well, I think one of the key players, and I think it's not a coincidence that he's back at Sandhausen, is Aziz Bouadouz. I think he kind of never left Sandhausen in a way. I think he felt very comfortable there, probably is really looking forward to play again. Yeah, Tupac, as you said, can play a huge role for them as well. But as well as Fürth or like Darmstadt or so, they will be really, really midfield teams. It will be a really, really midfield team. They have squad looks okay, looks enough, maybe a bit too many in the end, I'd say, personally. But yeah, it's good. Sandhausen is always the team you might say it's the first on the list to get relegated, not making this mistake this year. Think quite solid season for them next in the coming season, but that's all.
It will be interesting with them. I think they could maybe make a surprise. They certainly improved under Uwe Koshnat eventually, especially when we rode them off. They seem to turn it on in style. Dennis Diekmeyer is their new captain for the upcoming season. Which is quite interesting. This was also the last year of his contract after signing midway through last season. I thought he was really good for them when he came in and really brought some leadership and stability to the back half and the back third. And yeah, I think they've got a nice squad and maybe they could do some damage. Not in the way that they'll be a promotion challenger, but you know, they could be a nice mid-table team that teams may struggle against. And they could pick up points away from home if they're very much undervalued as an opponent. And that's it. Our preview of the Zweite Bundesliga. It felt like a long episode. We do apologize for...
It was.
Yeah, we do apologize for all the mispronunciations, which I'm sure I butchered many, many a names. Big thank you to Eva and Elliot for joining me on this episode of the podcast, the first for the 2019-20 season. And that only means one thing. That means the very next podcast, we will be previewing match day one as of recording this podcast. Only 6 days remaining before the opener between Stuttgart and Hanover. We hope you join us for that preview episode. And until next time, it's goodbye.